I'm preaching on one of the scariest passages in the Bible this morning. One of the scariest passages in the Bible. Take your book, if you would, to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36 and 37. We're honored to have with us Harold Vaughn, his sweet wife. Opposites attract. And we're glad he's down here for a little respite. You need it, brother. I'm glad you did well. You know you're getting tan, if nothing else. And so I'm glad you made it down here and did a little time off and a little respite. And that's why I didn't ask you to preach. I wanted to, trust me. But I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. 37, 36, and 37, scary verse. Does it scare you the way it scares me? But I say unto you that these are Jesus' words, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. I've spoken some really bad stuff. He says in another place that things that are whispered in the closets will be shouted from the housetops. I've whispered some really bad stuff. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I hope the Holy Spirit will come this morning and reinforce his words and help us to see it. Break through the long term, break through into the long term memory. And get in the very soul of our being. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 6 is a companion verse. Jesus says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I looked the word offended up. Connotative meaning of offended can be contradicted. Whosoever shall not be contradicted in me. I don't know about you, but I have been contradicted a lot. And I have contradicted God some. Everybody has an opinion about everything. Not all of them are bad. Everybody adopts a life philosophy of some kind. Your mother and grandmother taught you about many truths of life as you grew up, possibly. Your teachers in school had a philosophy of life that they shared with you. Your friends often have philosophies of life, and what's amazing to me about young people, and I was the same way you young people have been or are, when I wanted to know something real important, I went to people my own age. Duh! The books you read will tell you philosophies of life. In many cases, these philosophies will contradict what Jesus said about the same subjects or about subjects of life. This often causes folks to get offended at Jesus. Jesus is still as offensive today as he was when he walked the earth. If Jesus was here today and walked the earth, they'd try to crucify him. They'd try to kill him, just like they did back then. They hate him. Because human nature has not changed a bit since Jesus walked the face of the earth. Have you ever been contradicted? You ever been offended? You know, Pastor McKinney before me, I worked under him for about 11 and a half years. He was a godly man, loved Jesus. He used to say, I'm unoffendable. How many heard? Anybody in here heard Pastor McKinney say unoffendable? I'm unoffendable. I almost rolled in the aisle when I heard him say that. I personally had offended him dozens of times. One time he called me the worst assistant pastor he'd ever had. That wouldn't have meant so much, but he'd had about 7 different assistant pastors. So I was number 8 on the list of assistant pastors. I told him, I'm sorry about that, but you're stuck with me. The one thing about being offended or contradicted by Jesus or with Jesus and what he said is that what Jesus said is eternal. What everybody else says is going to be given account of, but what Jesus said is truth. He said, I am the truth. Not that I have truth and possess truth. I am truth. I am life. I am the way. You say, well, Brother Bill, I believe the law of Moses is from God. Well, I'm glad you do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, verily I say unto you, these are Jesus' words again, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. And that's speaking of the Old Testament, primarily possibly the law of Moses, but really the whole Old Testament, till all be fulfilled. Now, nobody can say that but God, because nobody can make that happen but God. Right, so you believe, you're in here this morning, you believe the Old Testament is inspired and preserved by God, 3,500 years old, by the way, 10 commandments. But do you believe the New Testament? What Jesus said about himself and about his words in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. Now, he said the same thing about the law of Moses. Till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle in no wise pass from the law. And he uses that similar phrase in 24, 35, where it says, heaven and earth shall pass away. But my words, not thoughts, not concepts, my words shall not pass away. Nobody could say that except God. Jesus was not just a good man. He was not just a prophet. He was not just the one that was talked about in Malachi that was to come. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. As Timothy says, he was God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, received up into glory. Jesus said to himself in Matthew chapter 28, 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, how much power? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Wow. That pretty well covers it, doesn't it? In other words, Jesus' words are not just some words by a good person or a notable individual. According to God's own claim and Jesus' own claim and the Bible's own claim, it's the very words of God, according to Psalm 119, forever settled in heaven. We put a billboard up, the first time we did it, probably over 20-some years ago, we put a billboard up on 41. How many have seen our billboard on the corner of Rip and 41? It's good, isn't it? We put a billboard up. The first one we put up, I wanted to make sure it honored God, and we did. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The advertisement guy I dealt with said, that's not in the Bible. Now you know, you got, what kind of a person are you that challenges a guy that spent his whole life in the Bible and you haven't read the table of contents and that you tell him it ain't in the Bible? My own dad. I feel like Rodney Dangerfield. He can't get no respect. My own dad, he said the young may die, the old must die. I said, Bill, that's in the Bible. I said, that's not in the Bible, Dad. The concept's good, but it's not in the Bible. He said, now I know that's in the Bible. Here he is challenging his son who went to school for 8 years and read his Bible since he's been 18 and studied. Human ego. It's not in the Bible. I want you to look behind us here. Behind me, not you. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus' words, Luke 11:28, when that billboard sign, except you repent, you shall likewise perish, we put Jesus' words. Why do we do that? Because of credibility. Some people who don't know the Bible and don't understand the Bible, when you say Jesus' words, they'll step back and say, Jesus' words? Yeah. These are actually Jesus' words. Even though I believe every word is inspired and every word is forever settled in heaven, they don't. And I know they have some reverence for Jesus and his words, so we put it up like I did here, Jesus' words. Even though I believe it's all just as solid as Jesus' words. Because all inspired of the Holy Ghost, and for all scripture is inspired by God. Jesus' words. But don't feel bad about contradicting or being offended in the Son of God, because Peter, the leader of the apostles, oftentimes contradicted the Lord Jesus. In Mark chapter 14, let me read some verses for you, 14:27-31. And Jesus said unto them, all ye, now that's apostles, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. And for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And here we go. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, and I think somehow he was waving at the rest of those apostles, yet will not I. And then Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, that before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. What did Peter do? Say, well, Lord, you're right. No, he didn't. Here's what he did. 14:31, but he spake the more vehemently. He dug his hole deeper. How many ever dug a hole for yourself? Then you jump in it, amen. You just keep talking, keep going down the road. Peter just, he didn't get it. Jesus just told him that everybody's going to deny him before the night's over. Peter said, not me. I believe we could have people in this room this morning and people maybe listening over the internet this morning who are contradicting the words of the Lord Jesus, saying everybody else but not me. Here's what he said, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. You can't just give him all the credit. He led the charge. You understand who he was contradicting? He was contradicting the one that made water into wine. He was contradicting the one that raised Lazarus from the dead. He was contradicting the one that stilled the storm. He was contradicting the one that healed the lepers and gave blind from birth people sight, that gave crippled people that were all mangled up, straightened everything out to where they leapt as a deer, as a hart. He fed 5,000 one-time men only, 4,000 one-time men only. How big a group is that? We had the children in there, 15, 20,000 people, from a few baskets of fish, a few fish, and a few pieces of bread. Peter, are you crazy? You're contradicting your maker. Not just anybody. You're contradicting the one that controls nature. You're contradicting the one that controls life, resurrecting people from the dead at his will. What's that prove? We are some sort of egotistical people. We are some sort of self-right people. Somehow our speech seems to be noble, even in the contradiction of when God says it. My, oh my, oh my. Well, what happened? Well, you know what happened. Most of you know the Bible well enough to know what happened. Peter denied the Lord. They all forsook him when the soldiers came to get Jesus in Gethsemane. They all forsook him, just like Jesus said. And then Peter followed the whole group into the trial and wanted to find out how Jesus was going to make out in that trial. And God sent them little servant girls over there to say, "Are you a Galilean? Your speech betrays you. You're from Galilee. Didn't we see you with Jesus?" Remember, if everybody dies, if all these apostles around me here die, I'll give my life for you. In Mark chapter 14, verse 71, as he began to curse, he was a fisherman. He began to swear and say, "I know not this man of whom you speak." And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereupon, he wept. Bible says in Matthew's account of that in 26-75 and Luke's account of that in 22-62, it says he wept bitterly. He didn't just weep. How many in this room have wept bitterly? Don't raise your hands. It's okay. You wept bitterly. If you contradict the words of the Son of God, let me give you a heads up. Someday, and you hold to it, and don't repent of it, and trust Christ for it, someday you're going to weep bitterly, and you're going to gnash your teeth in pain because you contradicted the one who made everything. But we do it every day. Every cocky, arrogant, self-assured word in contradiction to the Son of God's words will cause bitter weeping someday. Peter didn't learn, by the way, that was the second time he had contradicted the Son of God. Going back before that in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking about, back in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 18, I believe Matthew chapter 22, Jesus tells him, "I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed by sinners, and they're going to beat me and mock me and crucify me, and the third day I'm going to be raised from the dead." He had told them. So he told them the first time in chapter 16 of Matthew, Peter took Jesus to the side. Now, imagine the arrogancy of what I'm just about to say, which is in the Bible. He takes Jesus to the side and began to rebuke him. This makes what you do small almost. He began to rebuke the Son of God, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, that this should not be unto thee." But Jesus turns and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest," or that word means "understandeth not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Again, Peter finds himself contradicting Jesus. After he'd seen all the miracles he had seen, after he'd heard the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, and heard the greatest teaching any human ears ever heard was from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he still didn't believe what Jesus said was true. He was offended in Christ, contradicting him. The Bible teaches and Jesus teaches there's a hell. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like that doctrine. If you like it, something's wrong with you. I mean, come on. I wish humanly there wasn't a hell, but the justice of God And the words of the Bible and the words of Jesus demand, if you believe the Bible at all, that there is a hell. Well, people will say there has to be a hell for Adolf Hitler. There has to be a hell for Mussolini. That's because you don't look at your sin the way God looks at your sin. One of my prayers to God, which is a scary prayer, Lord, let me see myself as you see me. But don't let me have too much at a time. I don't think I could take it. I don't think I could take it. It'd be too much, too quick. I'd just go off in despondency and despair if God let me see myself the way he sees me without Christ. That's the beautiful thing about Christ. Once you get born from above and you trust Christ as your Savior, God the Father looks at you through Jesus. Woo! I heard an old boy say one time, Jesus didn't come he put it this way, Jesus came to save you from the wrath of God. Jesus came to save us from God's wrath. He stood between God and you. He took the wrath that was due you. He took the punishment that was due you. He took all the fury of the justice and righteous indignation of God that was to come on you. And he bore it all on himself. That's why if I, by the grace of God, through faith in Christ, I get to go to heaven, Christ is going to stand in between me and God the Father. Mark chapter 9, verse 42 to 46, unequivocally Jesus said there's a hell. There's a hell to shun. I know a lot of people out there contradict Jesus' words when it comes to hell. They say, I don't believe there's a hell. I don't believe there. We're talking about religious people. We're talking about mainline denominations. We're talking about the Methodists, Lutherans, many of them deny there's a hell. They believe about two chapters of the Bible is inspired by God. The rest have been put in there by man. But we old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, fire-breathing, window-rattling, shingle-pulling fundamentalists believe the Bible from word to word, cover to cover. Now, we don't always practice it. We want to. We believe it. Let me give you some insightful words of Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 19. This is a condemnation that light is come into the world and that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That just tells you straight up and down why people don't get saved. Underlying everything, they know that they're going to have to face God with the evil. You're going to have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and confess to him you're a sinner unable to save yourself by any amount of good works. You're offended in Christ this morning? Turn before your destruction. Turn. Here's a piece of news. I don't mean to be mean about it, but he's right, you're wrong. You know, the hard words to speak is, I am wrong. I'm speaking to all you married people now. Do you know I've had to say those words to my wife? And every time I do, I hate it. But it's the truth. I am wrong on some subject that I so get up and beat my chest about. But the reward of confessing your sin is great. My own son, which is not here today, is on vacation, which actually he's on vacation all the time, but nevertheless, don't mention that. When I don't know about you people who raise kids, I discipline my child sometime when I shouldn't have. I overcorrect it. And would give him a good old-fashioned spanking, you know. Find out a little later on the Holy Spirit would touch me and talk to me and say, "No, you went too far. Go back and tell him you were wrong." Oh, not some, no. So I'd get him in front of me. He was like 7, 8 years old. I'd start weeping. Say, "Troy, your dad lost his temper. Your dad did some things that he shouldn't have done, said some things he shouldn't have said. I was wrong." Would you forgive me? We need to stand before the Lord Jesus and say, "I was wrong. Would you forgive me? Would you forgive me?" Matthew chapter 10, verse 32-33 says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men." The word confess means to agree with God. In 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That word confess is to agree with God. You don't have to go into gory detail with God. He knows what you did before you did it. But you have to say it. Say it! "I was wrong." That's what you got to tell God. "You were right." Because that's the facts. That's the facts. That's truth. You're aligning yourself up with God and you're aligning yourself up with truth. If we confess, he said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me," that could be like be offended in me before men, "him will I also deny or be offended by before my Father which is in heaven. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Do you have any doubt you're a sinner? Do you have any doubt you've offended God? I have literally met folks that said they never sinned in their life. Never sinned. They're blind. The God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not. Thus the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them and they could be saved. You have this opportunity called life to get right with God. Once you die, that seals your decision. When you seal your decision, you don't have a free will on the other side of death. You got a free will on this side of death, but you don't have a free will on that side of death. Now is the time of salvation. Today is the day to repent. Today is the day to get right about stuff that the Holy Spirit brings on your mind and as you read the Bible that speaks to you about, or as you hear a sermon that God speaks to you about. Today is your opportunity to make it right. Today is your opportunity to say, "Well, that verse, that scariest verse I ever have read in the Bible, every idle word a man shall speak, give account of in that day." Let me tell you what, I got like an epiphany on that. I figure if every idle word that I speak, I got to give an account of in that day, I want to speak a lot of good words. I want to speak a lot of solid words, Bible words. So someday, at least some of what I said will not be negative, but will be positive. Father in heaven, help us this morning. May you help us.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com, or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.